You don't have to live in fear and darkness. There is a light for you. Find out more on today's Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast with Gloria Copeland and her special guest, Billy Brim.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gloria Copeland. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. We're hearing about the signs of the times, and it's good news and it's bad news,
right,
depending where your position
where you
is. But if you are belong to Christ Jesus, you're listening to the Spirit of God, you have nothing to be concerned about except that you obey what He says. Billy Brim is with us from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. Welcome, Billy.
Bless the Lord. I was thinking about what you said, depending on your position. You remember Moses in the Old Testament, he came down that mountain and he found them worshiping that golden calf.
That's right.
He drew a line in the sand.
Ooh.
And he said, who's on the Lord's side? You come over
That's
here with
good.
Me. That's and the
right.
Levitical, the tribe of Leviticus, Levi came over on that side with him. Now, it's a day to be on the Lord's
that
side.
That is exactly right.
And how do we know what's the Lord's side? This book here.
That's right.
This book tells us.
You agree with that book. And
I
you're
absolutely
on the
agree
side.
With it. And if you do, then you're on the Lord's side. And you not only believe with a head knowledge,
right,
but you believe with your actions.
You do it.
You do it. You get on the Lord's side. And we're going to look at that right now in 1 Timothy chapter 3.
Okay.
Signs, what could be happening in 2008? I wish I could tell you that everything is going to be wonderful, everything is going to be peaches and cream, but that's not what the Word of God says. So we have to tell you truly what the Word of God says. Now, you don't want to be on this side right here. You don't. Here's what is opposite the Lord's side.
Yeah.
And this is 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. This know, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Perilous.
That's right.
Full of danger. Peril. We read just before we left that it's going to be like the days of Noah. And the Bible says in Genesis 6:11-13, that the earth was corrupt and full of violence. I told Gloria the first night I got here, and I stay at her house when I do these. I said, Gloria, I'm glad God told us. Because if He didn't tell us, I'd be very concerned about what's happening all around us.
Yeah.
And there used to be a group, I don't think you hear too much of this anymore, that we, the church, are going to make everything wonderful, make the whole earth just gloriously perfect, and then hand it over to the Lord. There won't be any rapture. That's not what the Bible says. We are going to be raptured. There is going to be a judgment on this earth. And these violent things, I think they're coming up to the front so that nobody will blame God when they are.
Amen.
Now, it says here, know this. No, this might happen. It says, know this. Perilous times are coming, even times filled with terror. But every single thing that the Bible tells us, it gives us an answer to. And we're going to talk about the answers on the Lord's side. What you do, what I do, how we move in our neighborhood, in our state, in our United States of America, in our country, Australia, wherever.
I think you should read more, Billy. Read to this. Read on.
I'm going to read more.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to read more.
You're coming back.
But I want to go right to the peril part in Philippians, because the peril part includes terrorism. And we have an answer right here in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 28. In all of that peril, and it's coming from Satan, it's all satanically driven. The Hebrew word for Satan, for adversary, is Satan, Satan. So we're told here in Philippians 1:28, written by Paul, probably around 60 A.D., who knew, the Holy Ghost knew, these perilous times were coming and there would be terrorism acts. It says in verse 28, in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token. What's a token? It's a sign of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. We're supposed to be giving God's enemy a sign. And the sign is we're not terrified by him.
That's
we're not afraid by him. In nothing, no thing terrified by your adversaries. If he tells you you're going to fail, if he tells you you're going under, it's over for you. It's over for the United States. It's over for everything. You are not terrified by your adversaries, and you give him a sign. I think of it like a big blinking neon sign. And what does the sign say? You're doomed. You're doomed. That's what perdition means. You're doomed. When he just sees you operating in this world, laughing, happy, gloriously led by the Holy Ghost, living above the fray. The Lord told me not too long ago, I want you to live above the fray. Living in the heavenlies, your mind, if we are therefore risen with Christ, then let our mind be on heavenly things, not on the earth,
That's
where
right.
we are seated with Him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Taking authority on my neighborhood, not letting the terrorist operate at my house, not letting him operate in our ministry. Bless the Lord. In no thing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token or sign that you're doomed, and it is the sign of
nothing,
your salvation.
Nothing terrified. That's right.
Which is to him an evident sign, and it reads to him, you're doomed, you're doomed, you're doomed. And let's say, but to you of salvation and that of God. So the sign would say to Satan, if he came to my house, you're doomed, you're doomed, you're doomed. And it would say, she's saved, she's saved, she's saved. That has to do with wholeness, that word sozo. She's saved, she's whole from God.
Amen.
So we're not afraid. We're not trying to tell you these things. But now we're going back to 1 Timothy, because 2 Timothy 3:1, because this is what the Bible says is going to be like. You don't want to be on this side. You don't have to be on this side.
No, it's your choice.
It's your choice. Verse 2. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. That's really something. And I think it has to do with a lot with humanism. They think they're their own answer. They don't need God. You know what's all the trouble in this world? Because people don't honor God.
That's right.
They don't honor this book.
That's right.
If they did, we wouldn't have all this trouble. But they love their own selves, and they are their own answer. And humanism is its own answer. All the humanists that preach that doctrine are dead. But thank God, that tells you something. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, blaspheming God. You even hear it on the news. I hear them, and they'll bleep out the signs that they're saying, of the words, you know, they're saying. But you know what words they're saying? It's blasphemy. And you know, an evil spirit will take you over if you curse and you blaspheme. If you don't watch it, it will become like an evil spirit. Not you, but someone in this world.
You know, there is a scripture. I think it's in the Psalms. I have it in my notes, but I don't know exactly where it is. But it says, he loved cursing. Let him wear it like a garment.
And it happens.
You know, you damn things all the time. You talk about this, you talk about that. You're loving cursing, and you're going to wear it like a garment. Isn't that an awesome thing?
You know,
and this earth, I mean, the natural people just, they can't, some people don't even have a vocabulary.
They have no vocabulary.
They just curse with.
And that's where they've kind of been taken over by this spirit of the adversary.
Mm-hmm. Don't do it.
And there was a, well, he's a public figure, so I guess we can say it, O.J. Simpson.
Mm-hmm.
And he got arrested last fall.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the videotape of when he got arrested.
I
noticed. Every other word.
Bleep, bleep.
Bleep, bleep, a horrible word. I was told that in a high school, public high school, you could not walk down the halls without hearing a certain word over and over
yeah.
and over.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's not the Lord's side. And when you give yourself over into this, you can't expect the Lord's blessings, because you're giving yourself to the spirit that's behind that blasphemy. Now, here we come, disobedient to parents. We've been studying the book of Ezekiel. And in the book of Ezekiel, the temple was destroyed. And God gave some of the reasons that the temple was destroyed, some of the ways they were missing it back in those days. And he said, disobedience to parents. To God, that is a big thing.
That's big.
Honoring God, honoring father and mother is a big
thing. That's a
thing.
Commandment.
And you shouldn't let your children get away with it. You know, when they're just little. I noticed on one of the cartoons that my little grandson watched, you know, they just let him watch it. It was not, you don't mm-hmm. think of it as a bad one. It was one of the approved ones. And I read something that, you know, counts the violence, counts this and that. That cartoon was filled with violence, and it was filled with disrespect to parents. And I pointed that out to his mother and father, and they started watching it, and they said, yes, it is. And so they, you know, he's little, 5, 6 years old. They jerk him up on this.
He's not a good babysitter.
No, it's not a good babysitter. I remember my aunt saying once, my dad's sister, her sons were a lot younger than I don't know what people did before they had television to entertain their children. And now it's all kinds of things. The Bible says, do not let your light be darkness.
That's
For if your light be darkness, how great is that darkness? So if the we're talking about darkness and light. We're talking about the world is going into gross darkness. The light is shining
That's
brighter
right.
and brighter. It says in Isaiah chapter 60 that arise, shine, for your light has come. But it says that the earth, the world, has gone into darkness, and gross darkness covers the people. Now, you looked up gross.
I did. You want to hear what it is?
Let's hear what it says.
I mean, it just fits this generation to a T, and I did not add one word to this. Gross is coarse, rough, vulgar, indelicate, obscene, impure. That describes all the cursing, actions, nakedness, very wrong, glaring, very wrong, glaring, flagrant, as a gross mistake, a big mistake, flagrant, thick, dense, not sensitive, in perception or feeling, not sensitive, in perception or feeling. And that would be blindness.
It would be blindness.
Here's what
dullness.
It is. Stupid.
Stupid.
That's in the Bible. I mean, in the dictionary. Stupid, dull. That's in Webster's New 20th Century Dictionary, but it's really an old dictionary because probably by now they would have taken some of those things out. But that's it. That's gross. It's just heavy with everything bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like the glory is heavy with everything good.
And we couldn't sit here and tell you the signs of the times if we ignored what is really happening.
That's right.
And what will grow, the darkness will grow darker.
So the world is in the dark, and the world's voice, for the most part, is what comes across the
media,
television.
And you cannot look to them.
Movies.
You cannot look to them for anything that's going to enlighten you.
That's exactly
He said,
right.
My word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. If you want to find the light, you look in here.
That's exactly right.
Now, in this book, in the book of Romans, and keep Timothy, don't lose 2 Timothy. In Romans it says, and it's speaking of how people will be behaving in the last days. Verse 27, this is Romans 1, 27. It speaks of fornication and acts of sexual lewdness. And it says, working in them that which is unseemly. And the end of the verse says, receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. What they did is going to get a judgment. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, there are some people that don't want you to talk to them about God.
That's right. They don't even want you to say Merry Christmas.
No. They don't want it. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, that's all sexual sin, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now, of this group, God says he turns them over to a reprobate mind. They actually believe what they're telling you. They actually believe it's good to make fun of God, never read the Bible, make fun of Christians. Sin doesn't matter. So they get a reprobate mind. God turns them over to that. Not the first day. But after they practice it and practice it and practice it, the result of that is going to be a reprobate mind. Now, what is reprobate that you looked up in the dictionary?
Oh, you don't want to be this.
You don't want to be this.
A person abandoned to sin, one lost to virtue and religion.
A minute now. He's abandoned to sin.
Yeah.
And he's just lost, abandoned himself.
He's lost to virtue. He can't contact virtue.
No.
He doesn't know where it is in religion. To disapprove with detestation are marks of extreme dislike, to allow, to reject,
This is
the verb form. Mm-hmm. In a milder sense, to disallow, to abandon to wickedness.
Abandon to wickedness.
And eternal destruction. This is the dictionary. It says, reprobate is to abandon to wickedness and eternal destruction, to abandon to his sentence without hope of pardon. So, thank God Jesus is there.
Thank God.
It's not an eternal sentence if you'll come to him.
Absolutely.
He'll change the most reprobate, meanest, worst person. The new birth will cause to be born over again.
Absolutely.
In the likeness of God.
But you can't give your mind. Remember the Bible says, take heed lest your light be darkness, for if your light be darkness, how great is that darkness?
Right.
You must not give your mind over to people with a reprobate mind. You must not sit in front of those television programs,
exactly,
and it's
right.
becoming more and more and more. When I was a kid, Lucy and Desi, who were really married in real life, had to sleep in twin beds
on
the TV.
They had to sleep in
but
twin
now,
beds.
Oh my goodness, nothing
and
is
you
left
couldn't
them.
Say I'm, pregnant on the
no.
air.
No. Not, and now they laugh and make fun of the censors, and that was terrible, and we got rid of them, and now we got freedom of speech. Freedom of speech usually means freedom to blaspheme,
That's
freedom
right.
to curse, freedom to curse God.
That's right.
But as we're coming into this time, then you're going to have to make some decisions. The Bible says, I set before you life, and I set before you death. So you cannot choose to watch what is written or enacted by a reprobate mind. You cannot... I stopped going to movies a long time ago. I like Jeopardy. And Jeopardy came to Branson recently. And Shelley said, I've been playing Jeopardy. You know, I eat my lunch
well,
watching
Jeopardy.
Well,
you've got a good mind.
Well, and I've been doing this since my little children were little. And I used to get all those.
That's why you're so smart,
no,
Billy.
No, it's just fun. But I used to get a lot of Jeopardy answers right, but now I can't get them anymore.
Because
I could get a lot of them.
They're giving the wrong words.
Well, they have the movies. You know, that can be a deal. They can have the music of today. Boy, I'm lost. I don't know any of it because I tuned it out a long time ago. I decided I don't want to give my mind
That's exactly right.
to someone with a reprobate mind.
No, I'm not going to do it.
And I know how some of them are with novels or writing, with television programs, and every year you're just shocked what comes on that TV.
That's right.
And so I'm glad the Bible told us. They're going to be there, else we'd faint. We could hardly believe it that they're that far gone. But we know that the Bible says
That's
it,
right.
and we know what to do about
we
it.
We don't have to participate.
We don't have to participate. The Bible says they will be without natural affection. This is in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3. Truce breakers, says over in covenant breakers. They don't. The word doesn't mean anything. False accusers, they lie. Incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Oh, brother. Despisers of those that are good. There are people in Israel who are living in certain places because the Bible tells them specifically to go back and live there. They call them the settlers. Mm-hmm. The media, and they did a special, a CNN special, and there they had the three different segments. And one of them was violent Islam. And one of them was Jews. And they focused on the settlers. And the other one was right. It was Christians. And they tried to put Christians to the right Christians. And there are some crazies over there. But they pretty well want to put us, any of us that just go by this book, into that category of equating us with those people who are so violent. And those Jews who went back home, they don't plan a suicide bomb on anyone. But they call them evil. Like the media portrays them like they have horns. So we love to go there and see them and show you how sweet they are. And we do that on our tours, and you'll see that on that documentary. But it says that they will be despisers of those that are good. There are those that despise us who are what you call to the right. Traitors. Heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Now, you know that there can be even churches that deny the power of God. The Holy Spirit is the power of God. Even the Bible says that tongues is a sign. And so we are not against all those who don't believe in tongues, and we know that they can have moves of God. I remember we did in my church. We had moves of God. But if you're just out and out against it, or even if you believe in it, you don't let it happen anymore. Tongues are for a sign. And by praying in the Holy Spirit, then you hook yourself up with the Holy Spirit who can guide you
in life. To the will of God.
And this came out in USA Today in May. You can go online and still get it, though they don't have the graph. I wish they did. But this is a study, Biological Reality Behind the Experience. I'm reading to you. Critics deride it as a fake, but new research shows that something authentic happens in the brain when someone speaks in tongues. In 2006, a University of Pennsylvania, and that's a high-class school, team headed by Andrew B. Newberg found that the frontal lobe area of the brain, usually associated with language skills and willful control of the body, slips into low gear when someone engages in this form of ecstatic prayer. Our findings are very consistent with what people say they are feeling, that they are not in charge of what is happening and are experiencing an intense sense of themselves in relation to God. They scanned the brains, and the study subjects were five women from the same Pentecostal church. They were measured twice as they sang a gospel song and as they spoke in tongues. The scans found that when the subjects spoke in tongues, the frontal lobe showed less blood flow and lower activity than during the singing. Newberg previously examined Buddhist monks in meditation and Catholic nuns in prayer. Their brain scans showed that the frontal lobe lit up with more activity, the exact opposite of the tongue speakers. And in the first article I saw, they gave the brain scan. And so the frontal lobe, which normally controls your speech, the Bible says he that speaks in an unknown tongue, he's speaking by
That's
God.
Right.
And so one of the things in the power of God, not denying the power, is the Holy Spirit. And in not denying the power, praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in other tongues, and God will lead you and guide you. He will, even if you don't do this. But it is something that we highly recommend.
Oh, my.
That you pray.
Because Billy and I mean, our lives just took a leap up after we received the Holy Spirit. Because he's the teacher. And without the Spirit of God living in you, you're just not going to know on the level that you know after you receive him. And we didn't do very much spiritually, almost.
No.
We
he got is
born
the power
again,
of
that
God.
Was it.
See, it says
Until
they deny the power
Spirit.
Of God. And so that he's a power to work in your life.
Billy and I will be right back, and we'll lead you in prayer, and you can receive the Holy Spirit if you never have before. We'll be right back.
In all of the earth, from every land across every continent, God has put his unique mark on only one place. He has specially chosen only one land. The land is Israel. The people are the Jews. And the promise is an eternal covenant. Israel, the people, the land, and the promise is a unique video documentary that will take you on a journey of discovery to the land of Israel. With Dr. Billy Brim as your teacher and guide, you'll learn why Israel is like no other place in the world, why today it remains at the center of the world's attention, why thousands of years of biblical and world history can be found in Israel, what mysteries and biblical prophecies are unfolding in this land of promise, and why God has specially chosen the Jewish people. Your journey of a lifetime begins today. Unlock the secrets of God's ancient land. Israel, the people, the land, the promise. To request your copy of Israel, the people, the land, the promise, log on to our website at kcm.org and order online. The cost for this eye-opening DVD by Billy Brim is just $30. To request your copy by phone, call us toll-free, 800-575-4455, or write to us at Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. Don't miss your opportunity to have this powerful documentary. Order Israel, the people, the land, the promise today.
Be sure and order the DVD. There's information here that you need. It's important to your well-being. And we want to lead you in prayer. Now, if you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, that's the first step.
Absolutely.
But all there is to that is you just give God an opening. You say, Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. You make a decision, you invite the Lord in, and he comes. After you make that decision,
then you can receive the Holy Spirit to come live in you. The Bible describes the Holy Spirit as the teacher. The Bible says about the Holy Spirit, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's in you, not out here somewhere, but when he comes in you, he's greater in you than he that's in the world. And it also says you receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now, Billy's going to lead us in prayer, and I'll just follow her, and when she prays for us, we'll to receive the, to make Jesus Lord and to ask the Holy Spirit in, then Billy and I are going to pray with you and we'll begin to pray in other tongues and you do the same thing. The Hallelujah. Spirit of God will be there.
Heavenly Father, it is written that if I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and I take him as my Lord, I shall be saved. I do believe. I believe he died for my sins.
Yes.
That his blood washes me clean, and I receive him now as my Savior. That means that you, Father, are my very own Father, and I am your very own child.
Yes, Lord.
In your word, it says that those who have received him and been cleansed can receive the Holy Spirit of promise. In the Bible, when they received the Holy Spirit, there was a sign. They spoke with other tongues.
Right.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you now for the Holy Spirit.
Yes,
I thank you, Jesus, for baptizing me with the Holy Spirit.
Thank you,
and
Jesus.
I thank you for the language that passes my brain, but it comes from God.
Thank
and
you.
I thank you, Lord, now for that evidence of the indwelling
yes,
Holy Spirit.
Glory to God.
And I speak with a new tongue.
Thank you, Father. You receive the Holy Spirit right now in Jesus' name with evidence of speaking in tongues. Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Now you just continue that. Jesus, thank you, Lord, that you are Lord, and help me. And I give myself over to speak in other tongues. Oh, you'll like it. You're praying the perfect will of God. Join Billy and me tomorrow. No telling what will happen tomorrow. We'll see you then. This is Billy and Gloria saying, Jesus is Lord.
If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, take the next step toward understanding who you are in Christ. Request your free salvation package online at kcm.org. 5 free books that will help you begin your exciting new walk with God. This is the year of the fullness of blessing, your year to receive the blessing without measure.